Can we give Jesus a hand of praise? I mean, like, for real. Can we, like, I mean, like, all right, okay, hold on. All right, so, you know, I, like, live in Detroit, and, like, our teams, like, don't win that much in, like, anything. And so I go to, like, and so I'm, like, the chaplain, like, for the Tigers, the Lions, the Wolverines. I'm, like, an adjunct chaplain, so I, like, go to all these games, and I, like, don't know any other players. But every game that I go to, I never see people quiet at these games, even though we're, like, usually losing, like, every game. I mean, people are, like, standing on top of chairs. Strange people are hugging each other. People, like, dress up, you know, with colors on their face and stuff over people who don't pay their bills for them, people who don't, like, heal them, people that they don't even know. They, like, and then, like, some people, like, go crazy over, like, Beyonce, over Yonce, or they go crazy over, like, Justin, and they go, you know, and so they, like, but when we talk about Jesus, it's like, so I just wonder, are there, like three people that really like Jesus a little bit, that when I say, let's give Jesus a hand of praise, could you, like, do that again and think about how much he means to you? Can we give Jesus a hand of praise in the room? Hallelujah. That's what's up. Amen. I am so excited, so honored to be here. I believe that this weekend is going to be life-changing, and I believe that God has a word for us, and we're going to hear from him. So let's open up with a word of prayer, if we can do that, please. Father, we thank you so much for your presence. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you, God, for everyone that is gathered here that you have ordained to be here. Nobody is here by accident. Everybody is here because you've ordained it. Father, we pray that you would speak to us, that this weekend you would literally change us from the inside out, that we would begin to look at ourselves through your eyes and not through the eyes of the world, and Lord, sometimes not even through our own eyes. Would you help us see ourselves the way that you intended us to? Only you can do that work. So God, would you move, and would you get the glory from it, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just share with you all from, as we open up from the book of Genesis. It's in the Bible, in the first book. I mean, all right. So Genesis chapter 1, and it's just two verses. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And I'm reading from the New International Version, so it might read a little bit different than the version that you have. Thank you so much. I asked this young man to help me out, and I give him a hand because he's just cool. He's got swag. He, like, brought the chair up with swag, man. I like that. All right. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, "And then God said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. I want to talk from the subject tonight, if I could. Purpose by design. Say that to the person next to you. Say, neighbor. All right. So turn to the person next to you on either side and just say, hey, neighbor, did you know that there's purpose by design? All right, now that you practice, turn to the person on the other side and say, hey, you, did you know that there's purpose by design? All right, purpose by design. All right, hey, listen, guys, everything that exists had someone that thought about it, all right? Everything that exists, this room that we're in, it didn't just come together, but there was an architect. Somebody sat down and decided that the walls would be built a certain way, that the roof would look a certain way, and then there was someone that did, like, interior designing, and they wanted to make sure that they got these little lights. Let's get a little cross. I mean, so everything that we know, your car, your gear that you're wearing, everything that exists, somebody thought about it, right? But it's amazing to me, you all, when we look at the world and we talk about humanity. And listen, I'm not here to talk about people who believe in science. I think science is important. I think that God gives us a brain. And I don't think that we should kind of check our brain at the door when it comes to our faith. But I know that as a Christian, I have to believe what the Word of God says about how things came to be. But there are many people who have believed a flawed view about the making of man. They kind of believe that we've evolved, right? That at one point we were kind of some primordial sludge, kind of like this little, you know, protoplasm somewhere. And then it just kind of grew and developed. And then it started off kind of like as this little monkey thing and then kind of stood up and we evolved to where we are. Now, I'm not saying that there's not been some changes and some adaptations over time with people in various regions of the world. But listen, you all, I believe the word of God when it says that I was not made in the image of a monkey. I was not made in the image of an animal. I was not made in the image of primordial sludge. But literally, I was made with intelligent design. That God, who is the maker and the creator of the universe, when he decided to make the highest level of his creation, he decided to make mankind. And the Bible says, as we open up Genesis 1, it says that he made mankind in his image and in his likeness. And this is so important, you all, because if we don't really understand the one that made us, listen, and the designer and the design, we will start thinking that we are something other than who we are. We cannot get into a conversation about identity without starting at the beginning, you all. We can't get into an understanding about who we are unless we understood whose we are and how we've been formed and how we've been made. Nothing is by accident. Nothing is by happenstance. Everything is ordained by God. As a matter of fact, you all, there's a verse in the Old Testament in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. It says, before I formed you in the womb, listen, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. God says, listen, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Which meant that you didn't start with you. You didn't start in the womb. Because God says, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. Which means that if you began in the womb, then that meant that God could not have known you until after you began. He said, but before you were formed, before your mama and daddy knocked the boots, I knew you. Now, I'm going to say some stuff that's funny, and when it's funny, y'all should laugh, because it's cool to laugh, and you know what I'm saying? So, it's, you know. All right. So God designed us with intention. It's not an accident. It's not a mistake. It is literally the providence of God. But you are not understanding whose we are will end up helping us live a life trying to be identified by what other people think we are or by sometimes what we think we are ourselves. When you talk about the whole high school piece, I was a very popular guy in high school. You all, I was like the class president. I was all this kind of stuff. And I mean, I went to Northwestern University. As a matter of fact, when I got ready to apply for college, I got accepted at every university I applied to. University of Notre Dame, full scholarship. Northwestern University, I went to St. Ignatius College Prep. A little black dude from the South Side went to a Jesuit school, took Latin. You know what I'm saying? I mean, all this stuff. And then I got accepted into college. And when I got decided, where am I going to go to college? Should I go to Notre Dame? Should I go to Loyola? Should I go to Northwestern? And I said, I told my mom, I'm going to go to Northwestern, even though I didn't get a scholarship because my girlfriend was going to Northwestern. So I went to Northwestern, you all, and it was my freshman year. I had an internship at a bank, you all, making a lot of money during summer internships. They guaranteed me a job when I graduated, making six figures. And this was back in the 80s. They said, here's your office. They showed me my office. They said, you're gonna be one of the premier trust bankers at the Northern Trust Bank. I never forget this. And so here I am at Northwestern University, this unbelievably beautiful chocolate man at Northwestern University with this cute, fine honey on my arm. Everything going good. I'm smart. I'm good looking, you know what I'm saying? All right. I didn't feel that way. What I'm saying is not how I felt, but so here I was in college, listen, at the apex of everything, right? Successful according to what people would say. I left a toga party one night, right? And it's in college, you know, you go to these frat parties and they dress up in sheets and look like Romans or Greeks or something. So I was at a toga party, this black dude at a toga party with all these white people, hey, what's up? And I left the toga party that night, and it's the truth, and I started asking some really deep questions about my life. And I started asking questions like, do I like myself? Do I like my life? Do I like the life that is now kind of playing out in front of me? And I realized I didn't. I went back to my dorm room, and I changed, got out of the sheet, put on some other clothes, and left out that night. And I left out that night with the decision that I was getting ready to commit suicide. I didn't write a letter because I believe that people that write letters, they're really crying for help. I believe that people that kind of say it, they're kind of hoping that somebody will talk them out of it. I didn't want anybody to talk me out of it because even though I had everything and every situation that was so beautiful and so set up and so perfect on the inside, listen, I didn't just dislike myself. I hated myself. Class president hated myself. popular, hated myself. And there was a lot of reasons for that. I grew up on the south side of Chicago, and I didn't grow up poor. I grew up poor. Somebody had stole the O and the R when I was about 3. So I looked up to poor people and said, hey, man, you poor. You know, I'm poor. And so, I mean, and not only that, and back in those days, you all, being dark-skinned wasn't in. You know what I'm saying? Right now, dark-skinned people are in. Back in those days, y'all, dark-skinned people wasn't in. It wasn't no Kevin Hart and Wesley Snipes. I mean, back in those days, it was all these really light-skinned people. So I was dark-skinned. I was poor. And I'm short. You know what I'm saying? And so I couldn't get no kind of play, man. Nobody talked to me. The girls would look at me. I'm all that kind of stuff. Nobody called on me to play basketball, none of that, because I couldn't play. I still can't. And so I felt on the inside completely miserable. On the outside, popular, laughing, cracking jokes, all of that. But on the inside, empty. And that may not be some of your stories. And I pray that it's not. But I know one thing. In a group this size, there are many young people in this room that have put on the mask and that have decided to be who you think someone else wants you to be. Or maybe someone that you're trying to present on the outside that does not match what you really feel about yourself on the inside. But God sent me here because on that night at Northwestern University, when I got ready to take my life, I cried out to a God that I heard about in church. I grew up in church. I grew up in the Baptist church. I grew up in religion. But I didn't have a relationship with God. And I cried out to Jesus, said, you know what? If you are who you say you are, you're supposed to be all-knowing or whatever, right? So if you are, then you know what I'm getting ready to do. I need you to do whatever you do to help me know that you're real. And that night at 1 o'clock in the morning on that, and as a matter of fact, I didn't want to kill myself and it didn't work, you know what I'm saying? You know, like take some pills and then I wake up in the psych ward with an I love me jacket. You know what I'm saying? You can't get out of that. Then you're crazy and depressed. All right, so that was kind of funny. And so, you know, those of y'all that's not laughing, what's wrong with you? You know what I'm saying? You got some really serious identity issues. When stuff is funny, you should be laughing for real, for real, for real. All right. So here I am on this campus trying to figure out how am I going to kill myself? And I said, okay, maybe I'll shoot myself. But then I thought, it's crazy, isn't it? Like, I don't want to hurt, though. But I'm going to die. But the initial ouch, I didn't want to do the ouch. That's crazy. All right. So I decided, I don't know how I thought this was better, but there was a bridge on Northwestern's campus, still there, that stood over an area with these rocks that jutted out of the water in like knife-like, you know, protrusions. And I don't know how I thought that was better than the gun to the head, but I said, I'm going to jump down. I know if I jump down head first, I'm going to die. And I stood at the edge of this thing and I said, now, God, if you're real, then you need to reveal yourself to me and you need to do whatever you do. And that night, On that bridge, Jesus gloriously came into my life and he saved me. Like, for real, he changed me from the inside out. I went back to my dorm room, you all, and back in those days, you know, Prince was like the big thing back in those days, the artist formerly known as, or whoever. And so I had Prince all on my wall because he was kind of nasty, and I couldn't say nasty things to my girlfriend, but Prince could. So I would be like, listen to what he's saying. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there. So that's what I did. All right. And so I had all this, I took all the posters down. I took, back in those days, we didn't have MP3s, we didn't have CDs, we had these things called cassette tapes. And we had these mixtapes, and I had all these tapes, and I took them all, and I snapped them. I broke each one of them. And I said, I don't want to listen to anything that doesn't honor God. And I pulled out a Bible that had been given to me by my pastor's wife back in grammar school, and read it for the first time. And in that book, I began to learn about who I really was and God's image on me and my image that was created in his likeness. And it was in that moment that the trajectory of my life changed. You'll find out over the weekend that I wish I could say that that was the end of my identity crisis, but it was not. Because at Northwestern, God called me to ministry and called me to preach, but in the midst of even being saved, and in the midst of even knowing God, I still struggle because then I became a preacher and didn't know how to preach. Because for some reason, God played this practical joke on me and put me in front of a lot of like white people. You know what I'm saying? And by the way, y'all, white people are different than black people beyond the obvious. And Asian and Latino, I mean, we're all different. And so when I would preach to black people, I wasn't black enough. You know what I'm saying? Because with black people, you got to kind of preach a certain way. When you are a black person, then you got to sound like you have asthma. And then when you're a white person, You stand in one place. And then you pause intentionally. And then you make sure that there are 3 points. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? So I didn't have, no, just like right now, I don't have no, you don't know where I am. You don't know, is he on the first point? Is he on the second? You don't know where I am. I don't do points and I don't do hooping. And I said, God, how will you? So I had identity crisis about preaching. But it was in the word of God, you all, that I began to learn that it is by the design of God on each and every one of us that our purpose is found. Listen, it's by the design of God on each and every one of us that our purpose is found. Let me say it one more time. It is by the design of God on each and every one of us that our purposes are found. And so I just want to go back and spend the rest of our time back in the book of Genesis, because this is where it all happens. So when God got ready to create the earth, the Bible says he created the earth and he created the sky, he created the waters. And then the Bible says he spoke to each one of those entities, each one of those things he's created. And then he said, I want life to come from that. So when it came time to speak to the sea, he said, I want the sea to bring forth life. So out of the sea came all the fish, right? Then it says he spoke to the sky that he had already created. And he said, I want you to bring forth the fowl of the air. Then he spoke to the earth, the ground that he had created. And he said, I want you to bring forth animal life and all plant life. So he created these things, and then he spoke to those things. And then he said that everything that came out of those things, listen, everything that came out of those things find their identity in the things that they came out of. Have y'all ever taken a fish out of water? You want to see a depressed fish? You want to see a spastic fish? Take old boy out the water. He might be getting down in the water. He might be moon swimming, you know, in the water. But you take him out of the water, man, he's dead, right? Because, listen, if you pull a plant up out of the ground, because it has been created from the ground, it is dead. When it came time to make man, this is what God said in verse, then God said, unlike any other, listen, unlike anything else he created, let us make man in our image. When it came time to create you and me, he didn't speak to the ground, he didn't speak to the air, he didn't speak to the water, he spoke to himself. And said, now, listen, let us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, let us now make man in our image and in our likeness. And then he created us. You were not created out of the dirt. You might have been formed out of the dirt and God breathed into you, but you were made and created in the image and the likeness of God. You were not a mistake. You were not an accident. Well, my mom and dad said they didn't want to have me. Before your mama and daddy were born, God had already ordained that you would be born in this time and in this season in human history, that you would show forth his glory in the world. It is not an accident that you're here. As a matter of fact, some of y'all are here right now and you're like, I'm not even going to get with this thing. I got to go to counsel, but it's just what I got to do. You don't even know you've been hijacked by God. God has you here because there's a purpose on your life and there's a calling on your life and there's an identity that he wants you to get. And in the name of Jesus, this doggone weekend, you're going to realize who you are and you're going to be anointed by God to change this world. Is there anybody in this room that believes that God is able to change the world through you? Real talk, for real. So the Bible says that he created you and me in his image and in his likeness and gave us authority, told us to rule over everything. And he created us in his image and in his likeness, which means this, here it is. Humanity's identity. Let's start big. We can't get small. We can't get into our identity unless we understand our identity, right? Can't get into your identity. Well, who am I? Well, you're a part of something bigger than yourself. Who and what is mankind's function? If a plant cannot exist outside of the soil because it came from it, if a fish cannot exist outside of the water because it came from it, if a bird with wings is not enabled to fly, it's not living out its purpose. And listen, since you and I were made in the image and the likeness of God, since we were created from him, you and I cannot live without him. You cannot exist without him. Well, yeah, I can. I mean, I'm existing now. No, you're not really living. You might be existing, but you're not really living. You're not really being all that God called you to be if you're not really connected to God. Shakespeare has a play called Romeo and Juliet. And in that play, he has a thing. Many of y'all have heard this term. A rose by any other name, it will still smell as sweet. In other words, whatever people decided to call a rose, it wouldn't change the identity of the rose. Because the rose is going to be who it is and what it is, regardless of people's naming of it. But to not know the purpose of a thing, listen, means that you will ultimately abuse that thing. To not know the purpose of a thing means that ultimately you and I will abuse that thing. To not know your purpose, to not know how God designed you in his image and in his likeness, means that ultimately you and I, not knowing purpose, will end up abusing it. I got this chair because I want us to just kind of use our imaginations for a minute, all right? Let's just pretend that we're all from another planet. Some of y'all are for real already, but let's just pretend we're from another planet, right? Imagine, right? You're not from the earth, and you're visiting earth for the first time. Don't know anything about nothing. And you see this thing here. You don't know what this is, right? You're from another planet. You're from in the so-and-so galaxy. This sounds like an African planet. Right. So here you are. Here you are from this other planet, and you're now on earth, and you're watching this thing. Now, ignorance of what it is means that you might want to use it to be a lot of things. You might say, oh, this would be good to prop open a door. You could, right? You could put this in a doorway and it could prop open a door because it could. You might say, well, I think I'll use it as some kind of a drum instrument. You could. You could do that. But the more you examine it and the more that you look at the way that its design will give kind of information about its function. The way that it's made will tell you what its function is. So over time, even an alien from another planet would realize this has something that is firmly situated so it can hold something. Maybe it means that I should stand on it. Well, what's this thing on the back? Maybe it means I should lean on it. No, I think maybe it's... Finally, over time, the more you examine the way this thing that you don't know what it is made, you'll finally realize it's meant to hold something and support something. Ah, it is a chair. Now listen. You and I have been designed in the image of God, which means that the first part of getting away from our identity crisis is to realize that your identity is found in your relationship with God. For you and I to walk out of this room tonight and not have a relationship with God, it would simply mean that you have missed it. Because you, just like a fish out of water, are not being fully who you've been created to be. You all, I kind of kid around and I laugh a lot, but it's not that funny as I kind of close this message out because I want us to think about this tonight. About 3.5 years ago, I'm a pastor in Detroit. You know, I preach all over the world. God has been really good to me. I don't know how he does it, but I took off about 11 months away from my church. And I ended up doing something that I learned from several of the pastors at Willow Creek. Every time I got picked up by people at Willow Creek Church to go teach and preach up there, every time I got in the car, these people start talking about they went to counseling and they went to therapy. I'm saying, man, there's some crazy people at Willow Creek Church. And then Bill Hybels said, and I went to therapy. I said, he must be crazy. He's a chief crazy person then if he, you know. Because black people don't go to counseling like that. We don't go to therapy. We don't believe in therapists. We think if Jesus can't fix it, it won't be fixed, right? Listen, after having been saved After having had that experience on the bridge, after having accepted my call to preach, after having been at Salem Church for over 2 decades, thousands of young people's lives changed, countless others that were hearing the gospel, after having traveled all over the world preaching the gospel in stadiums and coliseums and small churches in the bush, it didn't matter where it was, I still had an identity crisis. Still didn't like me. Still didn't like me. And it was during that time of deep counseling that I went on this journey to really figure out what was really happening inside of me, and to God be the glory, not that it's perfect. I thank God that he used this Christian counselor to help me unpack some stuff so I could look and act and be more like Jesus. I share that with you all tonight because as we get ready to pray, I want you to know you've been made in the image of God. You've been designed by God. I sweat when I preach, you know what I'm saying? I spit. So everybody on the first row always gets wet with my spit. You know, it's just crazy. That's why they got me all probably way, but it's Harvey, just stay up there, you know? I don't preach white. I don't preach black. But I've learned to really love the way that God designed me. I came to really appreciate the fact that he loved me enough to intentionally design me the way that he did so that I could find my purpose in him. And my prayer this weekend is that as we begin this journey, right, and we're going to be on a journey this weekend, that we start out with this question. Do I believe in God? Just because you're a youth counselor doesn't mean you believe in God. Do I believe in him? And not do I just believe in him, but do I trust the fact that he designed me? The way that I look, the way that my family is, my financial situation, what's going on at the crib, all of that, some of it good, maybe a lot of it bad, but can I believe that God, in his wisdom, and God in his knowledge, he ordained it so that I can be all that he wants me to be. I'm challenging you tonight as you go into your evening activities, and especially when you spend some time alone, that you answer the question, do I believe in God? And do I believe that God designed me and that God intentionally made me the way that I am so that he would get the glory? And can I tell you something? Be honest. Because I lied to my church people when I was your age. Harvey, are you a Christian? Praise God, of course I'm a Christian. Glory be to Jesus. Well, how do you know you're a Christian? Because Jesus died on the cross and on the third day rose from the grave with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. Didn't mean anything to me. I knew the right verses to say. I knew the right stuff to say so somebody would be impressed. I created an identity for them to think I was a Christian. That might not be your story. You may be a Christian, and praise God. But there are many of you in this room, I know it, kind of far from God. But the sweet thing about this moment is that God kind of organized this so he can come right to you and let you know the reason why you're flopping around on the ground is because you're away from your source. The reason why your roots are not allowing you to grow is because you've been plucked from your source. The reason why your wings are not flapping and you're not soaring as a young person in this life is because you're not connected to your source. You're not a bird. You're not a plant. You're not a fish. You are a child of God. And to miss that means that you will literally miss the reason that you were designed. I'm going to pray a quick prayer and then the band is going to lead us. But for the believer that loves Jesus, the question is this: I know that I'm designed by him, so why am I ignoring the fact that I know that I'm designed by him? Why am I more concerned about others' identity of me? Why am I more concerned about my identity of myself than his view of me? So all of us tonight, right, can spend some moments to reflect and to ask the question, do I believe in God? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Lord, I know that in this room, you're doing a major work in the hearts and the lives of these young people. It's not an accident that any of them are here. Every one of them that are here, they were here because, just like you said in Jeremiah 1:5, before the foundation of the world was even laid down, you ordained their life. You knew that they would be in this room today. You knew that all the junk and the crap that's been in their life would lead them to this moment, that they'd have to make a decision to identify with you and not with this fallen world. So God, in the name of Jesus, would you do only what you can do? For the person that's far away from God, God, we pray that you would begin the work to draw them closer to you. For the young person who loves you with all of their heart, mind, and soul, but the tug of the world and the tug of people's opinions and the tug of their own self-view have them sometimes second, third, and fourth guessing themselves. God, would you do a work? And God, when this weekend is over, not that we will claim that this weekend will bring perfection, but we claim that after we leave this place, God, that we will know that we are identified with you, and that we are designed by you, and thus our purpose will be found in you. We love you, God. We honor you, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.